Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sanitarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour Living Hill Church. Today is April 12, 2017, or is April 16, 2021. We will show the first service today with a song and follow the love of Yah. Is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest hell and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair, the gone with care, loved his soul to win. His every child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of Yah, rich and gold, a measureless and strong. It shall fall at the morning gold, it says an angel's song. When hoary times shall pass away, and earthly throne and kingdoms fall, the men who here refuse to pray, for the rocks in hill and mountains call. Yah's love so sure shall still endure, no matter less and strong. Redeeming grace through heaven's grace, a sensing angel. The love of Yah, our rich and true, measureless and strong. It shall pray and all endure, the sensing angel's song. To be with thee, the ocean fair, the skies that cross the bay, and every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a struck a tray. To write the love of Yah above, within the ocean wide. Not to the scroll, come to the hall, nor stretch from star to star. Oh, love of Yah, rich and gold, a measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the sense of angel's song. Part 6, Passover. We're going to start today with a study on 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of the Asher Messiah, when ye are gathered together in my spirit, with the power of our Savior has sent Messiah to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Yeshua Messiah. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Yeshua our Passover is sacrificed for us. Okay, so Yeshua is our Passover, has sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of the sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a raider, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, possessing one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, Yahweh judges. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So now that ends 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And now we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 13, and this will be the finishing up of our information on the Passover. And let's do the whole chapter. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers Yahweh will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, Yahweh is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of Yahweh, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Yahshua Messiah, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle, where the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Yahshua also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the gate, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto Yahweh continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices Yahweh is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored unto you the sooner. Now the Elohim of peace that brought again from the dead our Savior Yeshua, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in His sight, through Yahshua Messiah, unto whom be glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Slew all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they have Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Hallelujah. All right, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. I overlooked that chapter, that chapter 13 of Hebrews, and chapter 12. Let's just go ahead and read chapter 11. Now, faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua is the substance of the things hoped for, with the evidence of the things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through the faith in the blood, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of the Yahweh. What does it mean, framed by the word of the Yahweh? John 1:14 says the word became flesh and dwelt among us, talking about Yahshua the Son. So that's how the worlds were framed, because it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, it says that Yahweh created the world by His Son. It says, hath in these last days, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, Yahweh, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, set down the right hand of the Majesty on the high. So He made the He framed the world by the word, by His Son, Yahshua. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith in the blood of the animal, the lamb, Abel, offered unto Yahweh a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, for the Yahweh testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. So, the animal was dead, but the blood is what did the speaking of that animal, representing the blood of the everlasting covenant that is to be brought in the future from Abel's time down by the Yahshua, with his great sacrifice he made on the cross of Calvary by his own blood. Verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because Yahweh had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased Yahweh. Really, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh unto Yahweh must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. By faith Noah, being warned of the Yahweh of things not seen as yet, moved with the fear. So, by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, just like Abel, that's the reason why the Noah offered the animal sacrifice as well. All of Yahweh's people offered the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament because they had faith in that blood that was supplied for their need. So it says, by faith Noah, being warned of Yahweh of things not seen, as yet moved with the fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by the faith, which is by the faith in the blood. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith in the blood, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. What was that promise? That their seed would inherit the land of Canaan, which developed into the name Israel. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is Yahweh. What does it mean, he looked for a city which hath foundations? Well, we're going to find out that city coming down out of heaven is found in Revelation 21:2 and verse 40. Revelation 21:2. Actually, there's no verse 40 there in Revelation 21. It says, "And I, John, saw the Holy Spirit, a city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And it goes on and to say that it hath 12 foundations. And in verse 14 it says, "And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." So that's the city that Abraham, by faith, is looking forward to. It says in Revelation 11:10, a city which hath foundation. That's a literal city coming down out of heaven. That's a literal city. I think a lot of people here on this earth think in terms of that just being a mythical city. Through the faith also, Sarah, verse 11, herself received strength. Through the faith in the blood of the animal sacrifice. Also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And surely if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore Yahweh is not ashamed to be called their Elohim, for he hath prepared for them a city. By the faith in the blood, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that Yahweh was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By the faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. By the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departed of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bone. By the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant. Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because he saw him as a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now the faith in the blood, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So now, what enabled Moses to resist the greatest temptations in the world? Being in the palace of the Pharaoh of Egypt, that were heathen worshippers, idol worshippers, a strange god they had. They had a strange culture, strange religion. And they were in charge and had Yahweh's people in bondage. And Moses was one of them. He was in bondage under Pharaoh in Egypt. But because his mother gave him 12 years of personal training at home, and then he went to the Pharaoh's palace, that's all it took, was those 12 years to train him thoroughly in the sanctuary service, the government of heaven. And so Moses understood the power and the importance of believing by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant that was initiated and introduced at the Garden of Eden at the fall of Adam and Eve. On the day that they fell, they were introduced to the blood of the everlasting covenant through the animal sacrifice. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Yahweh than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Yahshua greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through the faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By the faith they passed, by the faith in the blood they passed through the Red Sea as by the dry land, which the Egyptians, the same to do, were drowned. By the faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So you see how powerful it is, and what a wonderful, wonderful advantage to have when you are. No matter if you're a Gentile, stranger, an outsider, it doesn't make any difference. If you come and accept Yahweh and His people, Israel, and accept and believe in that blood of the everlasting covenant, then it doesn't make any difference what you are. Mary Magdalene, she was a harlot. It didn't hinder her when she laid a hold of the blood of the everlasting covenant and said, I believe and I want it, I want the power of it. She was delivered. She was delivered. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through the faith in the blood subdued kingdom, wrought righteousness. Now there's your key right there. Wrought righteousness just by believing in the blood. Obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the alien. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tented, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and in goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains, and in the dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through the faith, received not the promise. Okay, all of these, and these all, having obtained a good report through the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant, received not the promise. Yahweh having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. All right, that ends chapter 11 in Hebrews. Okay, let's go to chapter 4 of The Desire of Ages. And it's entitled The Dedication. About 40 days after the birth of Yahshua, Joseph and Mary took him to unto Jerusalem to present him to Yahweh and to offer sacrifice. This is according to the Jewish law, and as man's substitute, Yahshua must conform to the law in every particular. He had already been subjected to the rite of circumcision as a pledge, and his obedience unto the law. As an offering for the mother, the law required a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. But the law provided that if the parents were too poor to bring a lamb, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, one for a burnt offering, the other for a sin offering, might be accepted. The offerings presented unto Yahweh were to be without blemish. These offerings represented Yahshua, and from this it is evident that Yahshua himself was free from the physical deformity. He was the Lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1:19. His physical structure was not marred by any defect. His body was strong and healthy, and through his lifetime he lived in conformity unto the nature's laws, physically as well as spiritually. He was an example of what Yahweh designed all humanity to be through obedience unto his law. The dedication of the firstborn had its origin in the earliest time. Yahweh had promised to give the firstborn of heaven to save the sinner. This gift was to be acknowledged in every household by the consecration of the firstborn son. He was to be devoted to the priesthood as a representative of Yahshua among men. In the deliverance of the Israel from Egypt, the dedication of the firstborn was again commanded. While the children of Israel were in bondage unto the Egyptian, Yahweh directed Moses to go unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say, "Thus saith Yahweh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn." Exodus 4:22-23. Moses delivered his message, but the proud king's answer was, "Who is the Yahweh that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Yahweh, neither will I let Israel go." Exodus 5:2. The Yahweh worked for his people by signs and wonders, sending terrible judgments upon Pharaoh. At length, the destroying angel was bidden to slay the firstborn of man and beast among the Egyptians, that the Israelites might be Third, they were directed to place upon their doorposts the blood of a slain lamb. Every house was to be marked that when the angel came on his mission of death, he might pass over the homes of the Israelites. After sending this judgment upon Egypt, Yahweh said unto Moses, "Sanctify me unto me all the firstborn, both of man and of beast. It is mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am the Yahweh." Exodus 13:2. Numbers 3:13. After the tabernacle service was established, the Yahweh chose the tribe of Levi in the place of the firstborn of all Israel to minister in the sanctuary. But the firstborn were still to be regarded as the Yahweh's and were to be bought back by a ransom. Thus the law for the presentation of the firstborn was made particularly significant. While it was a memorial of the Yahshua's wonderful deliverance of the children of Israel, it prefigured a great deliverance to be wrought out by the only begotten Son of Yahweh. As the blood sprinkled on the doorpost had saved the firstborn of Israel, so the blood of Yahshua had power to save the world. What meaning, then, was attached unto the Yahshua's presentation? But the priest did not see through the veil. He did not read the mystery beyond the presentation of the infants was a common scene. Day after day, the priest received the redemption money as the babes were presented to the Yahweh. Day after day, he went through the routine of his work, giving little heed to the parents or children unless he saw some indication of the wealth or high rank of the parents. Joseph and Mary were poor, and when they came with their child, the priest saw only a man and woman dressed as Galileans and in the humblest garments. There was nothing in their appearance to attract attention, and they presented only the offering made by the poor classes. What meaning, then, was attached unto Yahshua's presentation? But the priest did not see through the veil. He did not read the mystery beyond. The presentation of infants was a common scene. Day after day, the priest received the redemption money as the babes were presented to the Yahweh. Day after day, he went through the routine of his work, giving little heed unto the parents or children, unless he saw some indication of the wealth or high rank of the parents. Okay, I've already read that. Joseph and Mary were poor, and when they came with their child, the priest saw only a man and woman dressed as the Galileans and in the humblest garments. Okay, it says, there was nothing in their appearance to attract attention, and they presented only the offering made by the poor class. The priest went through the ceremony of his official work. He took the child in his arms and held it up before the altar. After handing it back to its mother, he inscribed the name Yahshua on the roll of the firstborn. Little did he think, as the babe lay in his arms, that it was the Majesty of Heaven, the King of Glory. The priest did not think that this babe was the one of whom Moses had written, "A prophet shall the Yahweh your Elohim raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you." Acts 3:22. He did not think that this babe was he whose glory Moses had asked to see. But one greater than Moses lay in the priest's arms, and when he enrolled the child's name, for he was enrolling the name of one who was the foundation of the whole Jewish economy, the name was to be a death warrant for the system. The sacrifices and offering were waxing old. The time at the top had almost reached its antithesis, the shadow, its substance. For the Shekinah, they departed from the sanctuary. But in the child of the Bethlehem is veiled the glory before which angels bow. The unconscious babe was the promised seed unto whom the first altar at the gate of the Eden pointed. This was Shiloh, the peace giver. It was he who declared himself unto Moses as the I Am. It was he who in the pillar of the cloud and of the fire had been the God of Israel. This was he whom seers had long foretold. It was the desire of all nations, the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. The name of that helpless little babe, inscribed in the roll of Israel, declaring him our brother, was the hope of the fallen humanity. The child for whom the redemption money had been paid was he who was to pay the ransom for the sins of the whole world. He was the true high priest over the house of Yahweh, the head of an unchangeable priesthood, the intercessor at the right hand of the majesty on the high. Hebrews 10:21, 7:24, and 1:3. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. In the temple, the Son of Yahweh was dedicated unto the work he had come to do. The priest looked upon him as he would upon any other child. But though he neither saw nor felt anything unusual, Yahweh's act in giving his Son unto the world was acknowledged. This occasion did not pass without some recognition of the Yeshua. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Yeshua Messiah. As a Simeon enters the temple, he sees a family presenting their firstborn son before the priest. Their appearance bespeaks poverty, but Simeon understands the warnings of the Spirit, and he is deeply impressed that the infant being presented unto the Yahweh is the consolation of Israel, the one he has longed to see. So Yahshua is again the consolation of Israel today. And he's the consolation of the whole world, and not only that, but of the whole universe. But because of Yahshua's blood offering for the fallen race of humanity, he also ended up saving all of the other planets and the whole universe. Because Yahweh put the whole universe under condemnation because of this one sin, and he has to wipe out the whole universe. And I can give you that study once again and beat the hottest track, the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and the other track also, behold, I make all things new. Those of you that have the Shepherd's Rod book, you can go and read those tracks, and it explains that. To the astonished priest, Simeon appears like a man in rapture. The child has been returned unto Mary, and he takes it in his arms and presents it unto Yahweh, while a joy that he has never before felt enters his soul. As he lifts the infant Savior toward heaven, he says, Yahweh, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according unto thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light, the light in the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. For the spirit of the prophecy was upon this man of Yahweh, and while Joseph and Mary stood by, wondering at his word, he blessed them and said unto Mary, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Anna, also a prophetess, came in and confirmed Simeon's testimony concerning Yeshua. As Simeon spoke, her face lighted up with the glory of Yahweh, and she poured out her heartfelt thanks that she had been permitted to behold Yeshua, the Messiah. These humble worshippers had not studied the prophecies in vain, but those who held positions as rulers and priests in Israel, though they too had before them the precious utterances of prophecy, were not walking in the way of Yahweh, and their eyes were not open to behold the light of life. So it is still. Events upon which the attention of all heaven is centered are undiscerned. Their very occurrence is unnoticed by the religious leaders and worshippers in the house of Yahweh. Men acknowledge Yahshua in history while they turn away from the living Yahshua. Yahshua in his word calling for the self-sacrifice in the poor and suffering who plead for the relief in the righteous cause that involves poverty and toil and reproach is no more readily received today than he was 1800 years ago. Mary pondered the broad and far-reaching prophecy of Simeon as she looked upon the child in her arms and recalled the words spoken by the shepherds of Bethlehem. She was full of the grateful joy and bright hope. Simeon's words called unto her mind the prophetic utterances of the Isaiah. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Yahweh, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor of the Mighty Yahweh of the Everlasting Father, as the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 11, 1-5, and 9-2-6. Yet Mary did not understand Yahshua's mission. Simeon had prophesied of him as a light to lighten the Gentiles, as well as the glory of unto Israel. Thus the angel had announced your Savior's birth as tidings of joy unto all people. Yahweh was seeking to correct the narrow Jewish conception of the Messiah's work. He declared men to behold him not merely as the deliverer of Israel, but as redeemer of the world, that many years must pass before even the mother of Yahshua would understand his mission. Mary looked forward to the Messiah's reign on David's throne, but she saw not the baptism of the suffering by which it must be won. Through Simeon it is revealed that the Messiah is to have no unobstructed passage through the world. In the words to Mary, a sword shall pierce through the own soul also. Yahweh in his tender mercy gives unto the mother Yahshua an intimation of the anguish that already for his sake she had begun to bear. The whole Simeon had said, "This child is fit for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. They must fall who would rise again. We must fall upon a rock and be broken before we can be uplifted in Yahshua. Self must be dethroned. Pride must be humbled. If we would know the glory of the spiritual kingdom, the Jews would not accept the honor that is reached through the humiliation. Therefore, they would not receive their Redeemer. He was a sign that was spoken against that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed in the light of the Savior's life, the hearts of all, even from the Creator unto the Prince of Darkness, are revealed. Satan had represented Yahweh as selfish and oppressive, as claiming all and giving nothing, as requiring the service of his creatures for his own glory and making no sacrifice for their good. But the gift of Yahshua reveals the Father's heart. It testifies that the thoughts of Yahweh toward us are thoughts of peace and not of evil. Jeremiah 29:11. He declares that while Yahweh's hatred of sin is as strong as death, his love for the sinner is stronger than death. Having undertaken our redemption, he will spare nothing, however dear, which is necessary unto the completion of his work. No truth essential unto our salvation is withheld. No miracle of mercy is neglected. No divine agency is left unemployed. Favor is heaped upon favor, gift upon gift. The whole treasury of heaven is open unto those he seeks to save. Having collected the riches of the universe and laid open the resources of the infinite power, he gives them all into the hands of Yahshua and said, "All these are for man. Use these gifts to convince him that there is no love greater than mine in the earth or heaven. His greatest happiness will be found in loving me." Okay, at the cross of Calvary, love and selfishness stood face to face. Here was their crowning manifestation. Yahshua had lived only to comfort and to bless, and in putting him to death, Satan manifested the malignity of his hatred against Yahweh. He made it evident that the real purpose of his rebellion was to dethrone Yahweh and destroy him through whom the love of Yahweh was shown. So that was Lucifer's ultimate aim, was to dethrone the Father. By the life and the death of Yahshua, the thoughts of men who are brought to view from the manger of the cross, the life of Yahshua was a call to self-surrender and to fellowship in the suffering. It unveiled the purposes of men. Yahshua came with the truth of heaven, and all who were listening unto the voice of the Holy Spirit were drawn unto him. The worshippers of the self belonged unto Satan's kingdom, and their attitude toward Yahshua all would show on which side they stood, and thus everyone passes judgment on himself. In the day of the final judgment, every lost soul will understand the nature of his own rejection of the truth. The cross will be presented, and its real bearing will be seen by every mind that has been blinded by the transgression. Before the vision of Calvary, with this mysterious victim, sinners will stand condemned. Every line of excuse will be swept away. Human apostasy will appear in its heinous character. Men will see what their choice has been. Every question of the truth and error and the long-standing controversy will then have been made plain. And the judgment of the universe, Yahweh will stand clear of the blame for the existence or the continuance of evil. It will be demonstrated that the divine decrees are not necessary, are not accessory to sin. There was no defect in Yahweh's government, no cause for disaffection. And the thoughts of all hearts shall be revealed, both the loyal and the rebellious, for unite in declaring, just and true are thy ways, thou King of Saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Yahweh, and glorify thy name? For thy judgments are made manifest. Revelation 15, 3 and 4. Okay, that ends chapter 50, page 51 through 58 of the Tower of Ages. That was in the chapter of the dedication. I want to review something here with you, and then bring the service to a close. On page 55, I want to bring out a very important point here about the high priest Simeon, that Yahweh sent in by the Spirit unannounced into the temple while the Yahshua was being dedicated by the priest of the temple. Mary had brought him in, his firstborn. It says, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. I'm on page 55 now. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned in the temple. The Son of Yahweh was dedicated unto the work he had come to do. The priest looked upon him as he would upon any other child. Now you see that priest of that temple, he was just there doing the job that he was hard to do. He was just going through the cold, dead formality. He was just going through the ritual of like the Catholic priest would do when the mother brings her child in. And the Catholic Church has this. And a priest would dedicate that child to the Catholic Church. Well, the priests don't recognize anything special in any of those children. Well, this priest here in the temple didn't recognize anything special in Yahshua either. And look what happened when he didn't recognize Yahshua as being a special child, this priest. But though he neither saw nor felt anything unusual, Yahweh's act in giving his son unto the world was acknowledged. The occasion did not pass without some recognition of the Yahshua. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Yahshua Messiah. As Simeon enters the temple, he sees a family presenting their firstborn son before the priest. Their appearance bespeaks poverty, but Simeon understands the warnings of the Spirit, and he is deeply impressed that the infant being presented unto the Yahweh is a consolation of Israel. Okay, it says, the one he has longed to see. Unto the astonished priest, Simeon appears like a man enraptured. The child has been returned unto Mary, and he takes it in his arms and presents it unto Yahweh. Now look at this. The first priest, he presented unto Yahweh. Simeon is impressed that that priest that was presenting Yahshua the first time was presenting him unto Yahweh, but that first priest did not know that. So Simeon, he takes the child in his arms and he presents him unto Yahweh. So apparently that first priest did not present him unto Yahweh. Okay, he might have done it, but he didn't know it was Yahshua. The child has been returned unto Mary, and he takes it in his arms and presents it unto Yahweh, while a joy that he has never before felt enters his soul, and he lifts the infant Savior toward heaven. He says, Yahweh, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according unto thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So there is your signed, sealed, and delivered promise that Yahshua will fulfill divine commission that he was sent into the world for, and that is to appear in these last days to redeem all the righteous of the whole world, starting with Israel as the head of the people. So, for the spirit of prophecy was upon this man of Yahweh, and while Joseph and Mary stood by, wondering at his words, he blessed him and said unto Mary, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for the sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Anna, also a prophetess, came in and confirmed Simeon's testimony concerning Yahshua. As Simeon spoke, her face lighted up with the glory of Yahweh, and she poured out her heartfelt thanks that she had been permitted to behold Yahshua, the Savior of the world. These humble worshipers had not studied the prophecies in vain, but those who held position as rulers and priests in Israel, though they too had before them the precious utterances of the prophecy, were not walking in the way of Yahweh, and their eyes were not open to behold the light of life. Okay, this brings us to the close of our study. This hour, you can contact us at the 11th hour call. We're going to close now with a song. A Friend in Yahshua, by Elijah David.
Thank you.